Hello and welcome back to the Social Distancing Football Podcast. We're on episode 6 and I'm here with my co-host Owen Murray. Today we're going to be talking about a couple of resurgent teams this season and Sergio Aguero leaving Manchester City. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to the main segment of our podcast, where we talk about resurgent teams such as Barcelona and Chelsea. And we're also going to talk about Sergio Aguero, who has recently announced that he's going to be leaving Manchester City. So we'll start with Barcelona. What's changed recently? Why does it all of a sudden look like they are competent?
Well, what's really come in are two big things. One that is sort of an effect of this, not really, but so they brought in Joan Laporta as president. This is really big for the club. It means they're moving forward, and Barca fans are really, really excited about this. It's a big appointment. It's really, it feels like a big victory in what's been a pretty dark time. But Koeman actually has been a really good coach, and he deserves a lot of credit for this, because really, it seemed like he was just going to be a one-season coach, but honestly, they've said that they're going to keep him until next summer. Not this summer.
I think he definitely deserves to stay in the job. It was very rocky at the beginning, up and down, wins, losses, draws. And then he changed it. And then it seems like right around Christmas, he changed system a bit. De Jong started getting to the box, almost playing sort of like those Ilkay Gundogan runs that Gundogan's been doing so well this season. Even Messi was absent for 2 games with that red card in the Copa del Rey, I believe. And really since then, it feels like they've really kicked on. They tried playing with the 3 or 5 at the back formation with Messi, Griezmann, Dembele up top a lot of times, or Pedri at the 10. And it's really worked. And really, there was only one game that I can think of where they were just god-awful, and that's the PSG-Barca first leg. And in the second leg, it honestly, watching it, looked like they could have made a comeback. Like, they had so many chances, and if they'd scored that penalty, I think that there's a very good chance that they could have come back.
Yeah, so really, I don't think he's still their coach of the next 10 years or 5 years, but he really can move them forward in a way that usually when he was just hired, it just seemed like he was the guy to steady the ship. And really, he's done that admirably, and I think he deserves a chance to take them even further.
Yeah,
What do you think is the expectation for this season? Like, what does he have to do to keep the job?
Win the Copa del Rey, and I would say, I mean, obviously finish in the top 3 in La Liga, hopefully the top, I think they'll probably finish top 2, but top 3 in La Liga, and top 3 in La Liga, and the Copa del Rey. To keep his job, I would say at least the Copa del Rey, and then avoid any big embarrassments, like the Bayern embarrassment or Romantada type thing, or Liverpool.
Yeah.
I would say that's about it. I think Koeman honestly could stay in the job for next season, definitely. I think he deserves it. And maybe even the season after if things don't go horribly wrong next season. But what do you think about Xavi? Because he didn't side with anybody, but it looked like he was definitely more in contact with Victor Font, who was the second place candidate.
Yeah, so I've seen calls that Laporta should appoint Font in some role at the club, which I think actually would be a good idea.
They're Font or Xavi?
Font.
Okay.
Like, he should have him in not like in some sort of role at the club, because he obviously is a guy with good ideas and very smart about Barcelona
and has a very good large eccentric, maybe not eccentric, but extensive plan to fix La Masia.
Yeah, and so that's something that we really want to see going forward with the appointment of Laporta, is something that we can definitely hopefully see coming, is like the Barca DNA, which is something that eventually Xavi will bring back to the club. I think that it's not a question of whether he comes back, but when. I don't think that Laporta being announced president is going to change that. It just means that it might be a little bit farther down the line, which I am okay with. I think he should be in when Barcelona have La Masia back to a level where they can produce top talent, and they can, and like he can be the guy to finish the job, and really instill that DNA in them. But I think Koeman really deserves the chance to like lead them forward. But even though Xavi is more in contact with Font, I think that Laporta will still appreciate him and eventually get him in.
Yeah. See, I slightly disagree with the Barca DNA. I think they should move away with that in most aspects. I think the only aspect that they should keep it, the only two parts of it that they should keep the quote Barcelona DNA, is they should still focus on their academy, because that's obviously a smart investment, and they should try to stay a fan-owned club, because that's been such a large part of what Barcelona is. But everything else, I think that they need to move away from. As far as buying players, I feel like the Barcelona DNA limits them to anybody who's Argentinian, Brazilian, Spanish, or Dutch. That's about it. I don't think that, you know, they don't really buy players that aren't that those nationalities as often. I mean, I guess a little bit of French too, but for the most part, it's just that. And I also think that they just should just do that, because they always, I mean, I think that Laporta is a lot smarter than Bartomeu, obviously, financially, with financial issues and stuff. So I don't think that they're going to go on any big spending sprees. But as far as like signings, if they move away from the Barca DNA with signings, then they're going to have a lot. It's going to open them up a lot, and they're going to be able to sign better, you know, more reasonable, financially reasonable players. So,
yeah. So something that Laporta obviously knows coming into this job is that he's not going to be able to spend the big bucks. Barca, like a lot of teams, have been really hard hit by the pandemic, which means that the academy is so much more important. And they have the advantage of having La Masia, which, even if they haven't been bringing the talents into the first team as much, is still producing really, really good talent. Recently, we've seen Ilex Mariba, but I mean,
and Fati, and
Fati, but also Adama Traore came out of there, Bellerin. There have been players after the Pep era,
Ilex Grimaldo.
That could have been Barcelona players and really, really good ones, but they haven't really appreciated it.
Yeah.
So I think the current financial conditions will actually force them to really lean on that more, which can be a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just, yeah, I think with the signing thing, I just think that they, and I also think that as far as playing style goes, they shouldn't be so dedicated to the 4-3-3, and they shouldn't be so dedicated to possession. They always need to be attacking. But possession doesn't necessarily mean attacking. Like we saw with Setien, there was a lot of very dull possession play, very, you know, dance around the edge of the box and don't really try to make runs, just keep the ball for defense rather than attack. They should be open to just attacking football, whether it's like Tuchel, you know, like the more German style, like Tuchel or Nagelsmann. Or they could be open to, they shouldn't just strive for what Pep brings, because no one is Pep, and that's just not where the game is anymore.
Just a little bit of a sidetrack. Do you think that if, say, Pep was to win the quadruple with Manchester City this year, and this is something we'll get to later, but and he leaves, do you think that they would consider bringing him back. Obviously, he could go to the Spain job or take another hiatus, but...
Or Brazil. It looks like he also wants to take... No, I don't think Pep's going to ever go back. I don't think he should. I don't think it'd be smart. I don't think that the squad... I mean, he'll get something out of it because he's Pep Guardiola, but I don't think the squad is necessarily where he wants it to be, and he won't. They don't have the money to give him a spending spree that he has at so many jobs, or at least the City job. So, I think, I don't know, I think with coaches, they should keep Koeman for now unless something goes horribly wrong, and maybe eventually see if they can get Xavi as the assistant coach, and then eventually promote Xavi when Koeman leaves. I think that would be very smart.
Is there a coach in there between Xavi and Koeman, or do you think Koeman is the long-term option until...
Okay, so not long-term. I would keep Koeman for one, maximum two more seasons, and then promote Xavi. But keep Xavi as assistant coach in Barca for a bit. I think that would be a really good step. Or they could just wait, because Xavi's a young coach, and get somebody else in if they end up changing from Koeman, and then eventually bring Xavi into it. But I think that... So what do you think Barcelona need to do this summer to fix themselves?
I think they need to get rid of the deadwood, which is a lot of players. And they're going to need to balance the books, which those two kind of go hand in hand. But they're going, regardless of their academy situation, they need to find money to do something with, because they're going to need some new defenders. Basically, I'd say anybody but Ter Stegen, De Jong, Fati, Longley, and Pedri, with maybe a few that are on the edges, are up for sale for the right price.
See, okay, so I would say, what about Dest?
Oh, yeah, Dest in there, too.
So I would say keep Dest, Fati, Trincao, Pedri, Longley.
What if somebody was to come in with 80 million? For Trincao, or 60 million for Trincao.
Okay, then you take that, but no one's going to do that. No one's going to offer you more than 30 mil for Trincao.
No, you know? But that's what I'm saying. Like if somebody comes in with 90 mil for Griezmann, which is not going to happen, like, they'd take that.
I would say the players that they should try to sell are Umtiti, who looks like he may even leave on a free. Umtiti, Firpo. I'm drawing a blank, but, and maybe even Alba, he's running his course at this point.
What about Pjanic? Do you think they,
Pjanic should, like, try to hold on to him? Or, no,
is he still valuable for squad rotation at all?
No, he hasn't done any. I actually had a lot of faith in him. I thought he was going to do good. He was looking like he was doing better than Busquets at the start of the season, but he just needs to leave. He hasn't done anything. He's on the transfer list, actually. I would say it depends with Griezmann. I would say it depends on the Messi situation. If Messi leaves, I would keep Griezmann, because I think not having Messi at the club fixes the Griezmann situation.
Because he's allowed to be sort of that.
He can play in that central figure, in the spot that Messi needs to play and be that central figure. Coutinho, I would sell. Unfortunately, and I would keep Dembele, I think.
Yeah, I think that sort of if you get Messi out of there, Dembele could lock down that right wing spot. Yeah. I know Trincao's there. There's players here, but I think he's one of the leading lights to be able to, like, he's shown lots of promise this season.
Yeah, I think because he came in constantly injured for his first three seasons, and this was sort of for me and a lot of Barca fans, the last straw this season. If he couldn't stay fit this season, it was time to move him on for 40 mil or 50 mil, whatever we can get for him. But I think he's shown good form at, his form's been a little patchy, but he's had good form at points and he stayed fit. And he's been mature as well, which is another big thing. He hasn't been late to training, I don't believe. But he's shown maturity, fitness, and form. And those are the three things that he needed to show, and he's done all of that. So I would say keep him.
Yeah, I mean, looking at a right side of Dembele and Dest is legitimately scary.
Yeah.
Not quite Byron level, but
I mean, it will be scary in a couple years. Speedsters.
And Dembele is still what, 23?
23, 24, somewhere. I think he's turning 24 this year.
It's like he's not in that, should be about to enter his prime range. He still has a lot of time.
Yeah. No, I think the thing about it next year, if Messi leaves, okay, last summer I thought Messi should have left. I thought they should have taken 75 mil for him and gotten him out, fixed their financial situation, not gone into debt as much as they have now, and just gotten that situation over, let him leave to Manchester City or PSG and just thrown this season away, accepted that they're going to get third or fourth place. But now with Laporta in, I wonder if they keep him. I'm still confused. I haven't made up my mind on whether they should let him leave or not, or try to get him to stay. They're going to try to get him to stay, that's clear. But it'd fix a lot of financial problems, and I think it would fix a lot of squad issues if Messi
just left. Like they don't have that one figure that's just gonna do everything for them.
Well,
like,
yeah, and
they need like a sort of collaborative effort.
Yeah, I think you can play Trincao, Fati, Dembele more.
I mean, really, Barcelona have like a young squad to rival some of the best. Which I mean, I think the best.
They have a very old squad. It's just youngsters.
They have really good young. Like I think they're not quite on that level of like Real Madrid, who I think have the best sort of young squad core in the world. But I think they could be there.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Real Madrid did have the best young squad in the world. They're just ruining it. You know, they let go of Reguilon. They Odegaard's on loan. Ceballos is on loan.
Got rid of Hakimi. The army of young players that they had built up was like the example for everybody to aspire to.
Yeah.
And like if they bring in Mbappe or Haaland,
There's no way they can get either of them this summer. I mean, they are almost as broke as Barcelona, and I don't think that Real Madrid have as many sellable assets as Barcelona. You know, I think Barcelona can sell Coutinho, they can get 35 mil for Coutinho, they can get 60 mil for Griezmann, they can get 20 mil for Pjanic, they can get maybe not that much. I would say they can get 20 mil.
I cannot hear you. Hold on. Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah.
So you just cut out for a while, so we're gonna have to like just redo that.
No, because my Audacity thing's fine.
Okay. So we can just like cut this part out now.
Yep.
I'll ignore my part.
Yep, okay. You can fix it. Okay. And so I think that, you know, Barcelona has more sellable assets, Real Madrid can sell Modric. And
how much is he worth, though?
Not very much, like 15 mil. And Vinicius. And those are the only players I would say that they should sell. And I don't even know if they should sell Modric. I think Modric at this point should just retire at Real. I think Vinicius they should sell simply because he's not shown a ton of progression since his first season, if any, and he has a really high, you know, market value. But everyone else, they should. That's kind of it, I feel like. I mean, maybe they sell Varane this summer if they can't convince him to stay.
Okay, well, we know that what Barcelona have to do over the summer is sell. But moving from a team that has to sell to a team that is buying lots and lots of players, Thomas Tuchel has turned Chelsea around.
They now have the best defense in the world, which is kind of ridiculous considering how good Atletico Madrid at least were at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, and they took them down. I mean, it wasn't even close.
Yeah.
When I saw that tie, I was like, oh, Atleti are just going to cruise through out there, top of La Liga, and Chelsea are Chelsea. Lampard is Lampard. Not that he was a bad coach. I just think that they weren't on that level that they could take down that kind of team. And then they just dismantled them.
Yeah. I don't know that dismantled is the right word. I think that it was pretty boring.
I think
the second leg was better.
Yeah, I think they showed like a measure of composure.
Competent. They were competently better throughout the course of the tie.
Which is something they didn't, I don't think I saw often enough under Lampard. Yeah.
But I think the biggest thing is, so Werner has looked better. He's not in scoring form yet. Havertz has looked much better over the past, like the last three games that he played under Tuchel. He looked much better and was probably the best player on the pitch in two of those games. Ziyech and Pulisic have kind of been victims so far. But Callum Hudson-Odoi has looked like one of the best players in the squad since Tuchel came in, playing at that right wing back slot. Christensen's looked really good. Rudiger's looked good. Conte, you know, I mean, Conte's Conte. He's always a good player. But
Conte against Atleti was something else. I mean,
yeah.
Just the highlights. He was all over.
Yeah, I think.
It's like there was four or five Contes out there.
Yeah. Chelsea just looks so much better under, I mean, and I honestly think that at the beginning I was kind of wary because I think like they had a really easy run of fixtures for a bit, and I was like, would Lampard have gotten, like, I was like, Lampard probably would have gotten close to what Tuchel got out of this, but their form has just kept going and they're still unbeaten, so yeah, I think it's really turned around.
What do you think their ceiling is this season? Like, what is the maximum they can do if they... I mean, obviously, they won't stay unbeaten until the end of the season, but, like, if they stay in this imperious form, what can they do?
The absolute maximum, I would say, is a good Champions League run and third place in the Prem.
I think they could make the final. They've landed on the easier side of the bracket. This really isn't something I've talked about on the podcast yet, but just... quickly talk about the Champions League there. It's clearly an easier side of the bracket.
Yeah.
One side of the bracket has City, Dortmund, Bayern, and PSG. The other has Liverpool, Real Madrid, Chelsea, and Porto. There is the news that they will play in Sevilla versus Porto, which, I mean, it's a neutral location, but I think they've shown they can win in neutral locations. Yeah. And it's like, if they play either Liverpool or Real Madrid, if either of those teams is showing full strength, like if a full strength Liverpool comes out of that team and they've been really good in Champions League so far, I think that could prove a test. But I honestly think right now I would take Chelsea over Liverpool, and that's them in the final. And if they've gotten there, who's to say they couldn't squeeze out a win over a City, Bayern, PSG, Dortmund team?
Yeah,
I think so. I think they could win the Champions League this year.
I don't think they're better than City. I think City's attack is just ridiculous.
It could happen. Lost games.
It's within the realm of possibilities. Yes,
you have to play a perfect game to beat City, which is I think what United basically did when they beat them 2-0. But
see, I disagree. I think City were just a fluke. I think Pep. This is an example of Pep almost underthinking a game. They weren't trying to see. United had a high line, which caught City by surprise, and the City didn't send people through. They still tried to pay. They played how they would play, where they're dancing around the edges of boxes, making runs into the box with quick little passes. But they're doing that on the line instead of the box because United set a high line. So I think that was just a fluke.
But could it happen again?
Yeah.
Who's to say it couldn't happen on, like...
It can happen, but...
It would definitely be, like, a...
It can happen again, but a fluke is not something that you can put any real, like, reliance on.
No, yeah. Like, if Chelsea make it to that final, they're going to be underdogs against anybody but Dortmund. Who are underdogs themselves to make it out of a game against City and then against Bayern or PSG. They're going to be underdogs, but who's to say they couldn't win? I think that's their ceiling.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, they're in the Prem, probably.
So what do you think they should do about Timo Werner? Kai Havertz looks like he's starting to turn up, but what about Timo Werner?
I think that you still give him time. I think that... I mean, what we've seen with Kai Havertz is that he's really, really turned up, like you're saying. I think that he could turn up. We've seen him be really, really good in the Bundesliga. But obviously hasn't quite hit that this year. I think that it can happen. He's the caliber of player that he can produce. He hasn't really found the league yet, and I'm sure this is what lots of people are saying. But I do not think it's time to loan him out or sell him on yet. I think that if he doesn't perform next year, you could definitely be looking at the very least, a loan spell, maybe back to the Bundesliga or to a lower team like an Everton even. That actually might be really cool.
See, I think you give Timo Werner this season and next season, and Kai Havertz they just keep. Because Kai Havertz is like 21, 22. He will become a good player. I think you stick with Timo Werner throughout all of next season at least. And I think you definitely don't buy another striker, because I think you also have Tammy. Tammy, and there's all these links to them with Haaland, and just stick with Timo and Tammy for now, I think. But he hasn't actually been as bad as many people say, I don't think. He still has, let's see, what is it? I believe he has 10 goals and 10 assists this season, which is 20 goal involvements. So he hasn't been awful. It's just he hasn't kept a consistent run of, and that's in all competitions. He just hasn't kept a consistent string of form.
Yeah, not everybody can come in and like take the league like Mohamed Salah did. Like so many more players take that season or even season and a half to adjust. And it's just that if he was a smaller level player, people wouldn't be as worried about it. But because he was expected to come in and be the goal scorer, everybody's saying he's a flop, he's not going to succeed here, we need to sell him on. And yeah, he's a quality player. I mean, he's one of Germany's starting strikers at the Euros.
Yeah, I mean, he is Germany's best striker, I would say. Yeah, and I like, his numbers are better, or his output is better than Kai Havertz. I know that Kai Havertz is a 10, or is a false 9 with a lot of number 10s abilities, basically. But Kai Havertz has 5 goals and 7 assists. Timo Werner has more assists than Kai Havertz, whose job is to feed people. Timo Werner also has more minutes, because that's the person that they really wanted to turn on throughout the season so that they could get that consistent attack. But I say just stick with them. Don't buy a ton of people this summer unless you're going to buy center backs and probably a keeper.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I was going to move into next. I think.
Oh, and a Conte replacement. I think they should buy Declan Rice.
Yeah, happy birthday, N'Golo Conte turned 30. I think it was yesterday.
I don't remember. I didn't see anything about it.
Yeah. But anyways, what you were saying is if they're going to spend money this summer, A, it doesn't need to be big. And I think B, it needs to be maybe a center back depth, because Thiago Silva isn't getting younger. They do have Rudiger, Christensen, etc., but they're losing Tomori probably to AC Milan because they put that stupid release clause in there. So maybe like a younger player like Todibo, Per Schurz, even like a Diego Carlos, just sort of a
Diego Carlos
player.
Is not young at all.
How young is
he? He's like 28.
I'm thinking of the other Sevilla.
Jules Koundé.
Jules Koundé, yeah, him. Sorry about that. I think that they need to get a young guy who, I mean, it should have been Tomori, but who can rotate in there and like he can learn under Thiago Silva.
Yeah, so I think that they should buy Jules Koundé or Ibrahim Konaté. I think Jules Koundé is going to cost a lot more. He's also better than Ibrahim Konaté, I think.
Hasn't Konaté been like really, really heavily linked to Liverpool though?
So he's been linked to Liverpool. He's been linked everywhere since Upamecano left, leaving.
Yeah, I know, but I think like recently he's been like, I think Liverpool are in like advanced talks.
It's Chelsea. They have a ton. They have more money than Liverpool. They could buy him if they tried. They also have Malang Sarr on loan, who hasn't had an amazing time. But as soon as he hasn't been great. He hasn't played very much. But if they bring him back and try to give him minutes, which is something Tuchel can do, he's shown that with young players, then that then buying a young center back and then partnering him with Malang Sarr if they move into it, then that's just... Then you also have Christensen, who's still fairly young, and that's a back three sorted.
Yeah, so, I mean, and then Thiago Silva's in there too, who...
Yeah.
It's like, he's obviously not going to probably be a starter next season, especially if they bring in that center back, but, I mean, he is, like, a really cool head in there amongst the young guys. Yeah. And really what I think he's going to be valuable for is sort of, like, helping them navigate becoming that kind of top-tier center back that he's shown he can be.
Yeah, and I actually think they should sell Ziyech. While I think Ziyech has probably been the most successful, other than Ben Chilwell, of their summer signings, or maybe Mendy. I guess Mendy and Chilwell. So he's been the most successful of their attacking summer signings. He's been injury-prone. He's the oldest of their summer signings, other than maybe Edward Mendy. And he's taking up space for players that they should be playing more. So Pulisic should be playing more than Ziyech. Callum Hudson-Odoi should be playing more than Ziyech. Mason Mount should be playing more than Ziyech. Kai Havertz should be playing more than Ziyech. And these are all players that are going to play in, you know, similar positions to him. So I think probably what will happen is Chelsea will switch to a back four next season, I'm assuming, because they have so much attacking talent. And they'll try to probably start rotating Conte and a replacement if they buy one. That would make sense. I would say still play Kovacic. I've given up with Jorginho. I don't know why. I mean, he's been good under Tuchel, but I would... See, I would line up Chelsea in a 4-3-3. With their back line being Chilwell, Thiago Silva, probably Rudiger this season. Or no, Christensen. I would say Christensen over Rudiger with Tuchel. Reece James on the right, and then Mendy at the keeper, Conte at the six, then Kovacic on the right, and maybe Havertz on the left. Or, and that's if they play Ziyech. If they don't play Ziyech, then I would play Havertz on the right, and you can play Mount on the left or Kovacic on the left. Those can rotate. And then you can play Werner up top, Pulisic on the left, and then you can play probably Callum Hudson-Odoi on the right.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously they have a lot of talent. But I think one thing that they're sort of losing with Lampard is that ability to bring people up from the academy. What they had in sort of the two-year transfer ban was, like, they saw, like, Mount, Reece James, all, and Lamptey, too, even though he's at Brighton, come up sort of from that academy. And I think that it would be really valuable sort of to, even if they're not...
Tammy Abraham?
Yeah. Oh, Tammy Abraham too. But like just to kind of try to keep that production going because they have a really, really good academy.
Yeah.
Declan Rice.
Who's that? Yeah. Who might be coming? I think they should try and give Tammy more minute or give Tammy minutes. Switch him with Werner a bit. Especially if Werner starts next season slowly. And try to give Billy Gilmore. I think if they play that 4-3-3, Kai Havertz and Conte should just be nailed on unless they buy a Conte replacement, then he should rotate. I think that left side of the midfield should kind of rotate between Mount, Kovacic, and Billy Gilmore, probably. Or they can play Billy Gilmore at the six, but he's a deep lying playmaker figure. So, I think you kind of rotate that left side of the midfield three.
Yeah, and it's like, but just like being able to keep producing that young talent, which we've seen, like, I mean, obviously they can be really, really top tier, and they have Reece James as a, I mean, almost a nailed on starter in their team.
Yeah.
Like, that can be a really valuable place to find, say, a young center back.
Yeah, and we haven't even talked about Azpilicueta, who's still in the squad and can play center back in this back three like he has been.
Yeah, so it's just, I think they have a really good mix so far of that sort of young talent and old heads, but just sort of reinforcing that balance by both reinstating the academy and being able to keep people like Thiago Silva and Azpilicueta.
Yeah. So I think we should probably move on to Sergio Aguero. We're just about to hit 40 minutes total time.
All right, so another Premier League striker, but we just want to say that Sergio Aguero is obviously a club legend, and City have announced they're building a
Premier League legend.
A Premier League legend. I think he's the greatest foreign striker ever. I'm putting him above Henry. Is that insane?
Well, forward, yes. Striker, still yes. Wait, do you mean just the Premier League?
Yes.
Okay.
The greatest foreign striker.
Oh, four. I thought you said League. Forward. Excuse me. Foreign striker ever. See, does Henry count? Does Henry count as foreign because he was in the Premier League when England was part of the EU?
Yes, I'm counting Henry.
Okay, so then I would
just not.
That's English, very tough. It's between those two. It's between those two.
Regardless, City are building a statue outside the Etihad. He's obviously had so many iconic moments. He's been that sort of key diamond for them for a really long time.
Kompany and David Silva, I believe, are all getting statues.
And when we wrote this podcast, we were trying to decide whether he was still valuable to them. But I think that, as we've seen, it's probably time for him to move on. And so we have two really big questions. Like, what does he have to give to City? Sorry, three questions. What does he have to give to City this season? Where does he go next season? And who's the replacement for City? Do you want to start with the first question? What do you think? What do you think he can give to City this season as they try to close out the quadruple?
This season, I would say he's a backup striker. If they start Jesus, then he's backup to Jesus. If they put De Bruyne at the false nine or Foden at the false nine, he's backup to there. I think he's a super sub. He comes, you bring him on if he's fit and if you need a goal.
I mean, that's honestly a really, really valuable thing to have. Like, bringing a player as good as Aguero off the bench, I mean, as we know, he can score stoppage time, crucial goals. But it's I think that's almost like the perfect role for him. Like, as he gets to this age, he's not as fit. He probably can't play 90 minutes anymore just because he hasn't been playing. But like, especially as they kind of push, they're still in three major competitions and the Carabao Cup. But just like, because they're going to need to rotate their squad because they're going to be pushing the Premier League. They haven't won that yet, so they need to keep having that. And if they're in the Champions League, they're probably going to, they could start Aguero in the league and have him rotate out anywhere. Like probably Jesus, and then Jesus will be like 100% fit for the Champions League or the FA Cup. Because I think, aside from the Carabao Cup, the Premier League is probably the one they can afford to rest players in.
They've won the Premier League, yeah, pretty much. And the Carabao Cup, they just have the Spurs final, and Spurs are shit. So.
And it's Spurs in a final. Who cares?
Yeah. So, where do you think Aguero should go?
I think probably the least likely place for him to go is MLS or Argentina. I think he's probably going to go either back to Argentina or to MLS eventually. I don't think he's quite there yet. But then the second one was actually an interesting one. I thought this probably isn't too likely, but I just thought this might actually be a nice landing spot. I thought it'd be cool for him to go to Atalanta, just sort of like a mid-tier team where he'll actually start.
Yeah, I think that would be interesting. It's just the question of fitness. But yeah, he could rotate with Muriel and Zapata since Ilicic is in the squad.
I just think it would be a really like nice spot for him to go to. Like, they're not that top team, but they're still going to be competing for Champions League, obviously.
Yeah.
And they're a fantastic team. They're attacking, and he can sort of be that rotational player, but he'll still start. But there's obviously the big
Barcelona links,
Barcelona,
PSG, and I believe Juve links, right?
Yeah, so he probably still has the quality to make that big move. He's probably not going to start as often. He's not going to be the starting striker.
Yeah.
Except for maybe at Barcelona if they only have Brathwaite. For whatever reason, decide to play Griezmann on the left again.
So my question is, PSG, why would he go there? I guess if they sell Icardi, which it looks like they might, then I guess that makes sense. And if they can't buy Keane,
Yeah.
I guess.
I think that's probably the least likely of the three.
Yeah, and then Juve, I don't know. They might buy Morata. That's kind of up in the air. He's been good, but I just don't know if they'll pay the money to keep him. Yeah, I think Barcelona... See, okay, I think it'd be really good for him to go to Real Sociedad. So
team up with David Silva.
They have Alexander Isak, who's been one of the best strikers in La Liga this season. But Willian Jose left in the winter to Wolves. So their main backup striker is now gone. So I think that Aguero, he could link up with David Silva. He could be back in Spain and just be at a really good, you know, interesting team, sort of similar to Atalanta.
Oh, yeah, I actually really like this. But I mean, I still think, obviously, Barcelona is where he's going to go. I think that's the most likely place for him to end up. Especially if Messi stays, because obviously there's the Argentinian link there.
Yeah.
He and kind of fits what we were talking about earlier with the club DNA as well.
Well, so who do you think City should buy for a replacement? Because for me, there are three players.
Do we want to start with our number three? Because I'm wondering if... I think this is probably where I'll be different. I mean, our number ones are most likely.
So do we want to do what we think they should do, or what we think is likely?
I put sort of a mix. I think I think they're going to go for a big money striker. I don't think it's going to be a prospect or like a 40 million striker. I think it's probably going to be big money, even if like somebody like Danny Ings would possibly be smarter.
So for who I think they should sign, if they can't get the other two people I have at number two, I think Alexander Isak would be a great choice, actually. He's not exactly an Aguero player at all, but he would be really good. He's a great striker. But I also think Danny Ings would work pretty well. He's 28 years old, he's a great striker, and he'd be on the cheaper side. He'd be 40 million probably. And so if they can't spend big because of COVID, which I'm sure they probably still can spend big, then he'd be a great striker. So who do you have at three? So Danny Ings or Isak?
Yeah. In number three, I have Harry Kane. Just because I don't think he's the most likely player, but just because, no, hear me out. Just because Spurs are in sixth, right? If they don't make at least the Europa League, I think Kane will probably leave. He's 27. He should be in the prime of his career. Now, he is in the prime of his career.
Yeah, he's having the season of his life, and Spurs are still shit.
Exactly. So I think that, if he's having the season at City, it's insane. He has that creative aspect that he's added to his game this season, which could be really valuable, and I think he obviously is that big money striker who could... Easily, he's in the Premier League, so he's obviously played there, and he can start up top a team as big as City.
I think it would make more sense to buy Romelu Lukaku over him. I think they're about the same age, they're having both amazing seasons, and I think Lukaku would make more sense because I don't think they need Harry Kane's creative ability. They have De Bruyne, Foden, Mahrez, Rodri's a deep-lying playmaker. They have all these players, Cancelo too, all these players that can create. So I think that is the least important aspect of Harry Kane that they need. I totally forgot about this. Dominic Calvert-Lewin. So at the start of the season, when City were very mediocre, all they were doing, it was like Arsenal. All they were doing was crossing. But they were crossing to Sergio Aguero. Play
Portland.
Dominic Calvert-Lewin is probably the best header of the ball in the league. Or he has been this season. And he's been amazing for Everton. And he's young. So Dominic Calvert-Lewin is actually my third choice.
Okay.
But over Isak and Ings. But I think it would make more sense to buy Lukaku than Kane, like I was saying, because they'd probably cost similar amounts. Probably Kane more because he's English and it's in the league.
It's the English tax.
Yeah. I just think Kane, because of that creative aspect, that dropping deep that he's added, I don't think they need that, I guess, is my only thought about that. But for second place, I have Lautaro Martinez.
Okay, I'm just going to add here, I also had Lautaro Martinez, so and, kind of tag team this. Yeah,
who I think, maybe out of my three, is probably most similar to Sergio Aguero. He can run the lines and or run the channels, and you know, he's Argentinian, which, you know, not that that necessarily makes a player's style, but that is a similarity. He'll probably cost, what, 100 mil, I would guess?
Yeah, he'll be upwards of 100 million, I would say, especially because Inter aren't probably going
to. See, okay, I think...
Especially?
No, but I think he would be less than what they wanted from Barca, because Inter are in a financial crisis.
I still think they'd rather sell him than Lukaku, though, just because of the youth factor.
Yeah, so if they're trying to sell you mean rather sell Lukaku than Lautaro?
Yeah, Lukaku over Lautaro.
To sell, yeah.
Yes.
See, I think, yeah, Lautaro would be a great option. He's obviously a great young striker, and he's very effective and having a great season, and he's more similar to Aguero than the other options. So if they want Aguero, more direct Aguero replacement, then Lautaro's the best choice, I think. Do you have anything to add?
No, just before we get into the number one, who I think we probably both know at this point, we have not mentioned Gabby Jesus in this list. Why is that?
Gabby Jesus has really stalled, I think. See, last season, he was amazing. And I think he's gone down from last season, and he's kind of stalled since the 100-point season, I believe, which, you know, he's gotten better every season until this season. But I think he's too good to be only a bench striker. But I don't think he'll ever be good enough to replace Aguero. Personally.
Sounds fair. So, like, like you were saying, I just don't think he's been necessarily consistent enough, especially this season.
This will not happen, but I think he should. I think the best place for him to go to would be Manchester United.
Yeah, probably.
Edinson Cavani, they need Martial. They should probably sell Edinson Cavani's ancient and. Gabby Jesus would be a great striker for them to have. Imagine Rashford, Jesus, and
Greenwood.
I guess, who's their right?
Diallo.
Daniel James. And whoever they put on their right. I think Rashford, Bruno, and Jesus would be a really good, you know, front focal point, I guess, while they don't have their right side sorted out. It's not going to happen, but that'd be good.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, number one's Erling Haaland for both of us, I believe.
Yeah, Mr. Consistent. Dortmund have recently gone and slapped €180 million euro price tag on him, which is not an issue for City. They're one of the few teams where that's not an issue.
It's a difficulty, but they could do it.
Okay, it will not be... Barcelona aren't even in the conversation, or Real Madrid. Because they just can't pay that. And there are teams that will go to that.
I think Barcelona could do it if they sold every bit of deadwood that they have for a good price. That's the only way.
No, yeah, I just don't think it's happening.
It's probably... It won't happen. I think Haaland is probably pretty nailed on for City, in my opinion.
Yeah. Obviously, he is one of the young strikers in the world. Best young strikers in the world.
He is the best young out-and-out striker in the world.
It was a fluke of him, like, whether it was a blip. He has been, hands down, I'd say, tied for best striker in the league. Best non-injured striker in the league right now.
Yeah.
Lewandowski, obviously, is up there. He's injured right
now. Andre Silva's up there, yeah.
It's going to be a big blow for Bayern against PSG, I think. To touch on that briefly.
Yeah. I think, I don't know, just Erling Haaland is, I when he went to Dortmund and was ridiculously consistent for that first half season, I thought he was going to have a drop-off in the second season. I thought there was no way for a 20-year-old to maintain that level, and he got better. or maybe not, but he maintained that level. And then he got injured, and I was, again, wondering, is he going to drop off a bit? And he didn't.
Yeah, so again, that's a really good sign. The only thing that I would say would maybe be a worry is going to the Premier League. Just like we've seen strikers like Timo Werner, who we touched on earlier in the episode, kind of have that difficulty moving. I don't think he's the kind of guy who would have sort of that trouble. He's shown that you can move from the Austrian Bundesliga to the Bundesliga pretty easily.
Yeah. Go ahead.
But I think that he can probably, it might take him a few games. Or like a month maybe, but I think he'll probably...
There will be a slight drop-off if he moves to the Premier League. That's inevitable. The league is more difficult. He's not going to be a 36-goal-a-season in the Premier League striker. He will score probably more than that in all competitions, but not just in the Premier League, like he could do at the Bundesliga. But I think that he won't... I think it'll be a pretty easy transition because you compared him to Timo Werner. He's taller and more physical than Timo Werner. He's got the pace of Timo Werner.
I mean, he's an Adonis, honestly, isn't he?
Hmm?
He's an Adonis.
I'll pretend I know what that means. Yeah, he just... I don't know. He's just ridiculous. Like, he is a robot.
Hey, at least you got verified. Okay, well, thanks for listening to our main segment. We'll see you back in a minute with hot takes. Stick around. Thank you.
Bye. Welcome to the last segment of our podcast, Hot Takes. So, Owen, what's yours?
So... I've heard a lot of people on social media this week saying that England are going to win the Euros, they're one of the better teams left, and that this is finally the year. I don't think that's necessarily the case, but I do think that it's wide open. Obviously, France are still the favorite, but Portugal could win it, England still could win it, I just don't think that they're the favorite. And it's setting up to be a really, really exciting tournament, which, honestly, if you'd asked me last year, I would have said... France are just going to win it hands down. I don't know if that's the case. Not that they're weaker. I just think that everybody else has gotten stronger.
Yeah, I think France are arguably stronger than they ever... or than they were at the World Cup. I think the only... the main difference is Griezmann is worse.
Yeah, and there's not the same gap between them that we saw in 2018.
Yeah. I think, I don't know what to think of Belgium. Like, De Bruyne's maintained level... Lukaku's gotten better.
They're first in the world right now, aren't they? Griezmann has gone down a bit.
Yeah, but then also, like, Hazard is dog shit. So, you know?
Yeah.
I don't really know what to think of them. But, yeah. My hot take is that Jack Grealish should not start for England, because I think a lot of people are saying that, but I don't think he's better than Sancho or Rashford.
I think that's reasonable. I think he's definitely not better than Sterling, but what would you say about him starting, like, in the 10?
He's not a 10. He's a left winger. He's a creative left winger. I don't think he plays as a 10. If he plays as the 10, he just drifts out wide.
But, like, do you think he's the best 10 they have left? Do you rate him over Phil Foden or Madison?
So, I think he's better than both Madison, Phil Foden, and Mason Mount. I just think that I wouldn't play him there because I don't think that's his best position. So I think that if you're going to play someone at the 10, you play Phil Foden or Mount. Because Southgate, it'll probably be Mount, but I would play Phil Foden. I would do a 4-2-3-1 at the base. If Henderson goes, he just got injured and is out for most likely the season. Then I would do Rice and Henderson. If Henderson doesn't go, probably Phillips and Rice, I guess.
One thing, do you think they need a measure of experience in that defensive midfield spot? Because, like, Rice and Phillips have never played in, like, an international tournament, have they?
Yeah, okay, but their back line is hands down probably Shaw, Maguire, Stones, and I'm assuming Trippier, Kyle Walker.
Trent?
And all of those are experienced players, since it looks like Trent won't go.
And even I still think he could go.
He should go, but he was left out of the most recent qualifier. And that's weird because he's been a lot better for Liverpool recently. And why would you not bring someone who you're planning to start in the World Cup?
I think you have to bring him like over one of Walker or Trippier.
No, just he should go over Trippier. He should go over Trippier. I just don't think he will.
Like, even if you're not going to start, it's just having that kind of quality in the squad is...
I agree he should start, but I think what will happen, since it looks like they're going to play back four now with Southgate switching, it will be Shaw, Maguire, Stones, and Trippier or Walker, probably Walker. And then the midfield, I would do Phillips, Rice, and then the 10, I would personally put Foden, and then I would put... and then on the left, I would put... Rashford or Sterling, and then on the right, Sancho or Sterling if you start Rashford on the left, and then Kane up top, obviously.
Yeah.
I think I would actually do Henderson at the keeper over Pick, or obviously Pickford should not start. Henderson at the keeper over Pope, just because Henderson's better with his feet.
Yeah, it's probably his role. Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, well, what we know here is that it's going to be an exciting summer to see. Is there a Copa America this summer?
Yes, there is.
It's going to be because it's the doubly normally there wouldn't summer. Be,
but it's the 100th anniversary.
Yeah, oh, so yeah, doing one. Okay, well, we're very excited to see what happens this summer.
Okay, cool. Yeah, thank you for listening, and have a good rest of your week or day or whatever. Bye.